I just want to make sure Tim can hear.
Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Today is 5/11/22. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. I am your host, Dave Atwell. About ready to go outside and enjoy a cold, much-needed cold beverage and delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. Hope everybody's doing well. Got a good show planned for everybody. So I'm going to start kicking it around the room as I fight the janky back door and light up my cigar. So I'm going to start it off. Ladies first, of course, out there to the newly crowned state of Atlantis, apparently. Arkansas, that is now under, I'm just finding out, is underwater. Granny Hawks, how are you doing today?
I'm good. We're not underwater. I mean, they did have a lot of flooding in parts of Fayetteville, and, you know, I live in Springdale, but they had parts of Arkansas that got severely, I mean, a lot of flooding in Fayetteville, which is not too far from us, but, it was pretty bad. I mean, you know, my husband, you know, he works for the Washington County Road Department. He services the county trucks, but they probably put close to 60 plus hours in 3 days. I mean, he worked on his day off on Friday. He worked on Saturday, which is, you know, he always has the weekends off. But he put in a lot of, I mean, Thursday when he went to work, he got up at 4:30 Thursday morning, went to work at 6:30, did not get home until 20 minutes after midnight Friday morning, got less than 4 hours of sleep. Had to get back up at 4:30, be back at work by 6:30, work till after 9 o'clock Friday night. Went to work Saturday morning at 6:30 and got home about 7:30 Saturday night. So he was very tired. I really felt sorry for him. I wish I could have. I wish I could have taken him with me when I went to Oklahoma. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, he had to work, and, you know, unfortunately he couldn't get to go with me. But, you know, I understand that. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the good news is you're getting paid. The bad news is, regardless of how much money you have in your account, you still have to rest. And
and Uncle Sam's going to get a lot of that tax money, you know, in taxes. So, you know, but
that's the ugly thing about overtime. If you really want to feel the effects financially of overtime, you got to work about a 50-55 hour a week, because if you get about 44, actually, truth be told, it's been a while since I've gotten overtime. I was always salary, but I recall if you got 39 and a half hours, you would get X. If you got 44 hours, you would actually get less take-home pay because of the increased tax rate on the overtime, which is
overtime,
bullshit. Yeah, that's a whole different show. But, yeah, hopefully David's getting some rest and just kind of healing up, so to speak, getting some sleep and everything.
But Greg, I helped a very good friend out, you know, over the weekend, Friday and Saturday in Oklahoma at his wrestling show, and I had a lot of fun. I had a great time. So I just wish I could have had my husband there to enjoy it with me, but you know, but Granny had a fun time. So
outstanding. Yeah. Hopefully. And that does stink when he gets held up like that. Can't go out there and join you. I'm going through a similar thing right now behind the scenes with my wife, and it's more family-oriented than it is work-oriented, but nevertheless, it is a pisser when you're going out somewhere to have a good time and you don't have your significant other over there having a good time with you, and especially if they're having to work, for God's sake. It's like, oh, God, they're over there getting killed, and here I am having a time of my life. So, but it's good to have you aboard. Good to hear that David is safe, regardless of the weather. Tell him to get some rest. And good to hear had a good time in Oklahoma, your wrestling event.
Yep, it was a lot of fun. I, you know, got to interview four wrestlers, and, you know, and one of them just happened to be former WWE superstar Fandango. He goes by Dirty Dango now. And let's see, I interviewed Brandon Groom and Derek James and Corporal Punishment, you know, a guy by the name of Corporal Punishment, you know, which was a lot of fun. So it was a good time, you know. I really wasn't sure what they were actually going to have me do. I knew, like, the week before that I was going to be doing something, but I really didn't know what I was going to be doing until pretty much the day before the show. So, but it was okay. It all worked out. And they said I did a really great job, and they were really happy with it. And so I can't wait to get the videos, to see the videos. So.
Yeah, that'll be when you get to really get the full impact of it and everything, you know. But, yeah, great to have you aboard this evening. Good to hear your voice, as always, young lady. Now I'm going to smack it back to the east, totally to the east, but in the eastern direction, to the metropolis, otherwise known as Indianapolis, and the outlying areas where the alpacas roam.
Okay.
My brother Tim, are you out there, my friend?
Yes, sir. I am here, alive, accounted for, alive and well. I didn't speak up in the green room because I was busy killing stink bugs, and I think I'm going to be moving my duty station upstairs for a bit, because for some reason the stink bugs, I don't know where they're coming from, but it's basically one right after the other. So other than that, I'm having a great time. It seems like we missed spring. I guess that was a fun 2 hours. Because it is scorching hot today, 85, humid. I've been working on the pool, which that's a whole different story. I got issues, but whatever.
In the upper 80s, almost 90s, Tim, so here in Arkansas. So, yeah, we went straight to summer.
Yeah, I think we might have hit a record. I know they were talking about it yesterday, that there was a possibility. So we might have been there, because we're at 86, I think, maybe right now, 85, 86, I don't know. Anyway, I'm here, looking forward to a good show. I'll turn it back over. I don't even know what we're going to talk about tonight, but I know it's going to be good.
Well, if it makes y'all feel any better, I'm actually out here in a damn hoodie. It's been getting in the 50s in here, out here at night, here in the last 3 or 4 days, point where I think it was Saturday night, I was out here talking to my brother, and I could see my breath. It was that chilly out here, so we're kind of going in the other direction. And
we were that way a couple weeks ago, Dave, here in Arkansas. We had the 30s and 40s at night, and you like, and 40s in the morning time, and then warming up to about 50 or 60. So we had that a couple weeks ago. So.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now, and you know, so I'm having to bring the toboggan back out, and I had to wear a jacket to work the other day, and I'm going, damn, you know, I just put all this stuff up, you know. I had to go fish it all back out. So, but nevertheless, looks like it's going to rain like hell for the next 3 or 4 days out here. It's not looking too hot right now. Hopefully the weather will hold off and let me finish off tonight's broadcast before we start playing the Russian roulette of North Carolina weather. But moving on to tonight's topic, and where did I get tonight's topic? I got it with about 14 minutes to spare before the show started tonight. Because oddly enough, nobody got slapped. Not a whole lot going on with no more poo stories from Amber Heard. And it's really been kind of a bland news week when it comes down to pop culture. So as I was buzzing through the news feed, there was actually an article, and it kind of cracked me up. The article read, "The dinosaurs went through, quote-unquote, hell on Earth in their last moments after the asteroid struck the Earth." So I went to go actually read it, and I stopped my thought to myself. I says, yeah, how the hell do we know? You know, it's How do you know what it's like? Did they, you know, was it an instantaneous thing, or was it something where it hit and, you know, it took a while for things to choke out because of either an ash cloud or the lack of sunlight and, you know, plant growth and all that kind of jazz? It's like, how in the hell are we actually be able to make a definitive call on that? What it brought to mind was, if you had the ability, if whatever power or source or whatever was to come down and say, hey, pick a historical mystery and I'll tell you exactly how it went down, be it the JFK assassination, be it dinosaurs, be it UFOs, it don't matter. Where would you start?
Interesting.
Anybody want to go first on this one? We'll throw it out there. I know it's a pop quiz.
Not it.
But if not, I'll open it up real quick. Because this one actually came to mind, and this is one that's always been circulating in my head. And it's not a popular one, but it's actually the Bible. I am most certainly a believer of our Savior, and I do believe that there is a higher power watching over us. And I do believe that sacrifices were made by higher powers to allow us to be the nitwits that we are as human beings and everything. And that being said, though, when you crack open the Bible, regardless of how much you believe, there are some stories in the Bible that are a little incredulous. And, you know, there's some in there where I just like to, you know, is it metaphor that they're using in hyperbole, or is it, take for instance, like Jonah and the whale, okay? It's really hard for me to believe that this asshole got sucked up in a whale, and the whale did what a whale does, and somehow the water pressure or the lack of oxygen didn't put this guy out of commission. You know what I mean? It's one of those ones that's kind of like, ah, come on. Are there ones in there that I know for certain, I'm sure, happened? You know, Last Supper, of course, crucifixion, the resurrection, all that. I have no doubt that that happened. But there are certain ones in there that I'm kind of going, okay, so you mean to tell me when Daniel walked in the lion's den, after watching Harambe come over there and grab that kid that one afternoon, you mean to tell me this guy walked into a den of lions with a toga and a stick in his hand, and none of those lions went after his ass? Like, So... yeah, that would be one of the first things I would hit, is how much is how much of it is actual fact, how much of it is based on fact, and then how much is it more, how much of it is fable that's meant to guide us to a better standard of living. If you understand my meaning, they're not necessarily true stories, but they're fables of good Christian values. So if I don't get struck by lightning in the next 90 minutes, we'll go ahead and keep right on this topic. But that would definitely be a starting point for me, because there's so much that comes out of that. You know, when you look at, you know, the Ten Commandments, you look at the Holy Grail, you look at all these different things that are linked to that. And, you know, if you really read the Bible from, you know, and take it at a literal stance, it had to have been a crazy, I mean, it just some of the things, especially those guys that were around Jesus when Jesus was, you know, doing his teachings and everything. Just to stand there and watch this guy, you're like, is this really happening? You know, and I have no doubt that it happened. Well, on the flip side, could you imagine actually living during that time and seeing this stuff going on? You go home and try to explain to the wife, he walked on water. It was the craziest shit. We're out there fishing, and the next thing you know, he walks right out to the boat. So I'll sit down and eat your porridge, please. And whatever it is you guys are taking on that boat, I need you to stop it. You understand? Your children are listening to you. You know, you got to wonder about that stuff, you know. So that would be one of the first ones I would tackle. So what do you think, guys? What kind of stuff would you go after?
Dave, I concur, but I'm currently on stink bug duty, so I'll get back with you shortly.
Oh, no, you're good. Hey, don't forget about your time off.
Well, let me see here. You know, I don't know. You know, so many.
I mean, there's
I
so
could,
much stuff
you know,
out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, you know, you were referring to the Bible. You know, you talk about, you know, the different things that took place in the Bible, like, you know, feeding the 5,000. You know, a little boy comes with fish, you know, and then all of a sudden they're feeding 5,000 people with these, you know, two loaves of bread and these fish, you know, I mean, and all of a sudden they're feeding 5,000 people, you know, and I mean, that's kind of, you know, people, you know, that may or may not believe, you know, but they will wonder how could they feed that many people with such little food, you know, that was just one
right.
of the many miracles that he performed, you know, and so...
There's a lot of things out there. Yeah. I mean, if we had the absolute knowledge
okay.
on some of the stuff, how would
you know,
it change?
I kept joking around, about us having to build the ark here in Arkansas with all the rain that we had. You know, look at Noah,
yeah.
you know. I mean,
he
put his family and two of each kind of animal on the ark, and you know, he built the ark, and people thought he was absolutely crazy for doing it. And then, you know, they were all safe on the ark, you know, Noah and his family, his children, you know, and all the, you know, two by two, all the animals that God had created, and all of a sudden everybody else got wiped out because of the flood. You know,
and, you know,
perfect example.
That's another one that bears a little bit of, you know, questioning, because you're thinking, okay, how did this guy go about getting two zebras, two lions, he could have left the cockroaches and snakes and spiders off. He didn't have to really get two of them. He could have let them just wash out for all it means to me. You know, two house flies, he could have left them off. But the way it's kind of conveyed to us is, you know, that he went and you picture all the kids, you know, all the little embroidery up in every kid's room when they're babies, you know, with the two giraffes and the two elephants and the two lions. You know, you got to wonder, how was he able to procure all that and do it without all hell breaking loose on that boat? It's another one of those ones that's kind of the head scratcher. Do I think it happened? Yeah, I have a firm belief that it happened, because there is some archaeology out there that's proven that there was a flood at some type or another during the same time. So, yeah, does it fit? But does the general belief or the general conveyance of that story match of what actually happened? Did Noah grab what he could and got on that boat before the water came in? Or did he actually procure two of every animal that he possibly could? You know, it's got to make you wonder.
If you read the verses or the story behind it, you know, Noah was basically faithful and obedient as he could be to God, you know, so that's why God protected him and his family, you know, and all the other people, like, you know, oh, you're crazy for doing this, you know, why are you, you know,
right.
This isn't going to really happen, it's not going to rain, and then all of a sudden it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, you know, I mean.
Yeah, because everybody called him a nut.
Yep.
Everybody said he was out of his mind for what he was doing. And, you know, apparently he had a voice
God,
from
you know, God came, you know, God came and spoke to him, whether it was God directly, and I think believe it was, if I remember my stories correctly, you know, God actually spoke to him, you know, Noah, you need to do this, you know, get your family, get, you know, two of each kind of animal, you know, build this ark, and, you know, it's, you know, and then people that didn't believe him, you know, thought that he was crazy, you know, well, they ended up not surviving because.
Right. Because of the doubt.
You know, Noah was the one that was being obedient and trying to be faithful, you know, so.
Right. And there lies another one, you know, when you talk about the mystery and can you give me the direct answer? What did the boat look like? I know there's, you know, the whole popular design of the boat and everything, but, I mean, you know, who's to say this thing didn't look like an aircraft carrier or, you know what I mean? Perhaps the ark wasn't exactly a boat. Perhaps the ark somehow was high ground or something of that effect. And, you know, the term ark was more of a metaphor than what it was an actual vessel of seaworthiness. You know what I mean? So it's, yeah, it's, again, it's one of those ones that we'll never find out. But when you're trying to go to sleep because you got to be up next morning to go to work, it's the one that gets in your head.
Yep, agreed.
I don't know what the hell that book looked like, you know?
And I agree with you. It's all about perception. Just think of the things that were written like 40 years ago that already, like if you reread it, you're kind of like, huh? What are they talking about? And that was 40 years ago. This is supposed to be something from like over 2,000 years ago, you know? It's like, think of all the things and the general population was, I mean, just think of all the stuff that you know of and, you know, nothing was like what it is today. And it's all about interpretation. And sometimes I think people try to take it a little too literal. And you got some people that really try to shove stuff down your throat. And I think that they need to get a grasp on like true meanings from the Bible. So that's probably going a little deeper than what we're talking about here, but, you know, just my take on it. All right, I have to go back. I think I found out how stink bugs are getting in, so I have retrieved a mallet, and I'm going to let you two talk. I promise I will contribute a little bit more in the second half here, but I'm going to try to fix the window.
The stink bug killer.
You know, and Tim, I'm telling you, man, I'm sure you're listening. I don't know what it is. And I put on a speech, I think it was week before last here in the house. I says, gang, it's 168 hours a week. There's 168 turns of the clock in a week. And why is it for the 2 hours that we go from 2100 to 2300 on this show, why is it everything in my house goes to hell in those 2 hours? I don't care if a dog runs off or we have plumbing issues or you know, Jimmy Hoffa pops up out of my backyard and comes up here and has a beer with me. It's always going to happen whenever we're doing the show. Totally get it. I hope you're using a rubber mallet.
They're testing your patience.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, if y'all haven't been able to tell in past shows, my patience had been tested very well. That is ridiculous.
For sure.
So there's another mystery.
For sure.
Why the hell does it always go to pieces on Wednesday night? That one I'm sure
for
we'll
sure.
never find out. But, you know,
probably
there are some
not,
things
but...
out there that in the event we ever got the knowledge, you know, I wonder how much it would screw things up. You'll take, for instance, the first guy who found the dinosaur bone. You know, on one half, he's going, hot damn, what is this thing? This is incredible. But on the other side of his head, he's going, well, I better not tell anybody because they're going to think I'm out of my damn mind. You know, because dinosaurs arguably goes against, and going back to biblical things, you know, how do dinosaurs massage into the whole story of the Garden of Eden and all that kind of good stuff? You know, how does all that work? So here you are, you're out there plowing up your land and you're getting ready to plant potatoes or, you know, strawberries or wheat or whatever the hell you want to, you know, grow back in the late 1700s, I think, is when the first dinosaur bone was found. And you're digging and digging, and thunk, you hit something with the plow. You're like, hey, what the hell is that? And you start digging, and you find like a damn six-foot-long femur bone. Because at that point, you have absolutely no knowledge of dinosaur bones. If a guy was doing that in his backyard right now and found the same bone, he'd go, oh, shit, dinosaur bones, that's cool. But if you're the first guy who ever found dinosaur bones, I mean, I would probably need some fresh undies right off the bat. That would be the first thing.
Well, you talk about mysteries, okay? And I don't know really if this ties into kind of what we're talking about, but it was a mystery to all of us. But when my mom and dad lived at Holiday Island, the property that their double wide was on, we were under the understanding that back many years, you know, when that was just land, you know, just hillsides and no property anywhere, you know, nothing, no double wides, no houses, you know, it was just mountainside, that it was part of an Indian burial ground, you know.
Oh, wow.
And my mom and dad, they had a ceiling fan in their living room. And the only time that this ever happened was when my dad's youngest sister from Kansas would come to visit. I mean, we could have other friends in the house. We could have other family members. It would never happen. Well, one night we were all sitting at the table playing cards. And all of a sudden, we hear this clink, 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 clink. Well, we look in the living room, and the chain on the ceiling fan is swinging back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, to the point where it got moving so fast, it was literally clanging the shades, you know, the lampshades on the light bulbs.
Good grief.
Yeah, and I mean, every single time Lois was in the house, it always did that. Like I said, we could have other family members come down. We could have friends come in the house. It never happened. So apparently, you know, my aunt must have had, I mean, we've got a little bit of Indian blood in our family. I mean, not much, but, you know, a little bit.
Right.
But apparently, my aunt must have had some sort of connection with a spirit or whatever. I mean, I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about mysterious, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
wow.
And then when my mom and dad moved to Springdale, you know, brought hospice in for my daddy, like in June of 2004, and we had hospice in for him right at a month before they hadn't even started building the Circle of Life hospice facility yet. I mean, they were just breaking ground. So he actually passed away at home. So we were sitting in the living room one night at their apartment, and I was looking at the ceiling fan in the living room, and my mom says, what are you looking at? I said, I'm waiting for that chain to start
swinging. Well, one night my mom got up, and she'd always leave the bathroom light on because we, you know, had brought in a hospital bed for my dad and everything, and I was helping take care of him and everything up until, you know, my aunt was there helping take care of him till he died. And so this was probably 3 or 4 nights maybe after my daddy had passed. And my mom, she went into the restroom, and daddy, she still had daddy's electric razor sitting on the bathroom sink. Well, the razor cover was laying in the sink. And my mom heard this noise in the living room, and she looks down the hallway and looks into the living room, and my daddy's recliner chair was rocking.
Wow.
You know, like, and I said, well, I told mom, I said, well, daddy apparently just wanted to shave, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd only been gone like, he'd only been gone like 3 or 4 days, you know, and I mean, and, you know, it may have been a little bit longer than that, too. I honestly don't remember. But it wasn't very long after my dad's passing that this happened, you know. And, like, I remember the day that he passed, you know. I mean, I worked in a nursing home for 9 years. So it wasn't nothing for me not to be used to seeing somebody, you know, pass away. And I got him ready, you know, to be, you know, for them to come, you know, pick him, because he was going to be transported back to Kansas to be buried in Kansas, you know, and everything. And I helped the guy take him out to the van. And all my friends were like, how could you do that? And I said, how could I not do that? That was my daddy. I had to do that. You know, that was my daddy. I mean, I had to do that. You know, I was trying to be strong for my mom, strong for my son. David and I weren't even married yet, and he was trying to be strong for me. So I couldn't grieve at first like I needed to, because I was trying to be strong for everybody else, you know.
Right.
And so, but I was like, you know, I told my friends, I said, how could I not do that? That was my daddy. I needed to do that. I needed to do that for my daddy, you know. So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, it, you know. A lot of mysterious things that take place, you know, in your lifetime.
Yeah.
I've seen my show.
No, but that brings up a perfect one right there, Granny, is the whole life after death thing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's when I lost my best friend in 2003, one of the things that he told his mom before he slipped on when he was in the hospital, he told her, she said, you know, she's of course saying the mom things, you're going to be okay, you know, and he said to her, I know because all the angels are around me. And he was like I am when it comes down to religion. Did he believe? Yes. But was he a guy that was in church every Sunday and, you know, no. What I like to call a blue-collar Christian, guys that believe but we're not
mm-hmm.
walking around with a Gideon's in our back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But he told her, instead of saying something to the effect of, you know, I don't want to die or, you know, blah, blah, blah. He says, yeah, I know because the angels are here. Where are the angels all around me? And I have read other accounts where people actually say that they're greeted by, and again,
some sort
it's
of
all
angel.
One of those interpretation things. Yeah, it's not the guy coming down on the cloud playing the harp with the wings and all that. An angel could be a manifest of anything. You,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I'm a firm believer that an angel could be a pan of meatloaf when you're hungry. You know what I mean? An angel doesn't have to
mm-hmm.
be some glowing being with, you know, feathery wings and everything. So, you know, the little things that happen when somebody passes, and we did a show gosh, I don't know if you guys were with us when we did the show about when we were talking about the afterlife and how I had said that there's got to be some type of emotional bond that goes with that, because I was never really a believer in the afterlife at all until my best friend passed. And then 3 years later, I lost my dog. And I know it sounds ridiculous to get all absorbed with a dog, but that dog saved my life. Without going to the gory details of it, that dog saved me. And I had her 15 years. And when she passed away, I mean, it messed me up. Couldn't walk into pet stores. I mean, I'd see anything with a dog on it, I'd turn a commercial with dog food on it, I'd turn a channel. Could not handle.
Well, you know, I mean, that's like my Basset Hound. My Basset Hound is 16 years old, and she's actually outlived her lifespan, you know, and she's still.
Right.
And I truly believe that if we hadn't got that other dog when we did, I told David, I said, I don't think Maggie would still be around if we didn't have Rex, because Rex is younger. He keeps her going, you know, he keeps her going. And I really, truly believe if we hadn't have gotten Rex, we probably wouldn't have Maggie anymore. But it's hard,
right?
Because it's like when our little rat terrier, Roscoe, he was our problem child. That freaking little dog could climb like a squirrel. I mean, I kid you not. He could climb like a squirrel. And he was actually, we actually thought he got out of the yard one Sunday morning, and he was actually laying in Maggie's doghouse. He was on his way out. I mean, I brought him in that Sunday night. I wrapped him up in a blanket, you know, and I brought him inside, and I put him in a little kennel cage, and I kept him inside all night, and I took him to the vet the next day, and he'd had his liver functions were really highly elevated, and they said, now we can give him medicine. It may or may not work. I said, no. I said, I don't want to see him suffer. I mean, his little body was trying to shut down even Monday morning. I mean, they had to put a heat lamp on him because his little body temperature was so cold. And I remember sitting in the room, and he put his paw on my hand. And David says, now you don't have to be there. And I said, I am not going to let him die alone. And they actually had to give him 2 shots to put him to sleep because he fought so hard to stay alive. And I'm like, Roscoe, just go to sleep, baby. It's okay. Just go to sleep. And he finally went to sleep. And I brought him home, and I put him in the kennel cage in a box out in the backyard. And, you know, and then when David got home, he measured him to see, you know, how big we needed to dig the hole, you know, and everything. Because he was a small dog. I mean, he was like probably 15 pounds maybe. But Maggie... Yeah. She was trying to nudge him, like, wake up, Roscoe, wake up, you know, and she looked at David, and she looked at me, and then she looked back at Roscoe, and she just howled, and I was like, we both lost it. It was like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
I got to share this funny story about Roscoe with you. You know that song, it's a country song, that song Good Direction about the sweet tea? Have you guys ever heard that song? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That dog could be in the living room, and he would hear that song come on the radio in the bedroom. He would run to the bedroom, sit on the bed, and look at the radio, and he would tilt his head one way. He would tilt his head the other, and then he would howl like he was singing with the song. He did that, like, every single time he heard that song. When Roscoe passed, my friend... I knew the DJ quite well on the radio station that I listened to, and I called in one day. The station was 96.7, the Coyote was what it was called. And I said, hey, Stack, I said, I have a request. And he says, well, what is it? And I told him the story about Roscoe. I said, would you play Good Direction in memory of my dog, Roscoe? And he did. He played that song on the radio that day in memory of my dog, Roscoe.
That's excellent. Yeah, because, you know, when you have that bond, And again, the bond doesn't have to be with another human being. And, you know, again, we're talking about the mystery. When you start speaking about the afterlife, what exactly, because it's another one of those ones that you can break apart. And I don't want to put it. In other words, let's say, hypothetically, you have a family member that passes and you believe that they've moved on to another existence, okay? But as we always say, watch over me, protect me, you know, and those kind of things. So you're standing there in the shower, and you're sitting there showering up the whole nine yards. Or let me even make it even more vulnerable. Let's say you're sitting on the damn toilet and you're just falling to pieces. Is that loved one sitting right there watching you fall to pieces going, you dumbass, told you not to eat at that restaurant anymore? You know what I mean?
Are we referring back to the Pope again?
Where,
are we doing Amber Heard again?
Do what now?
Are we referring, going back to the Amber Heard poop again? I was just curious.
Shroa, you're fading in and out, buddy. I can.
Am I?
Go ahead and sound off so I can make sure
no,
I hear
no,
you.
I'm just saying, are we going back to
oh,
the Amber Heard poop? Poop again?
Oh, Where was her guiding light when she was taking a dump on Johnny Chen's pillow? Goes, hey, don't do that. You know, what are you doing? Don't do that. You know?
Oh, man.
But we all have that, again, the interpretation
classic
of people passing on to the next plane. And, you know, as I said before, I didn't have a whole lot of belief in it. I always thought the afterlife was kind of bullshit, to be honest with you. I thought it was always, you know, you die, things go black, and that's it. But then, you know, when I've had certain people in my life pass on over the years, and little things have happened along the way, and there's really odd connection what goes down. I actually had a friend of mine who he had lost his dad a little time prior, and I was taking one of my famous little 20-minute power naps here at the house. I got a habit. You know how some people will sit there and flip through the channels and try to find something to watch? And they'll burn 20 minutes, a half hour doing it. Me, if I don't have something going on, the rare time that I don't have things going on, I will legitimately sit in the recliner, close my eyes, and check out for 20 minutes. It's just one of those things I've gotten good at, and I think that's part of the reason why I stay as decent shape as I do is because I have that ability to purge any type of anxiety from me and just kind of shut my body down, be it for 15, 20 minutes, half hour. So anyhow, I
don't know how you do that. You had me that you said 20 minutes. Because for me, it's
teach
more
me
like
Jedi
a couple hours.
Teach me Jedi Master.
Yeah, I'm doing that old Qui-Gon meditation trick and everything. Got Darth Maul pacing in front of me. I'm sitting there sound asleep. But what had happened is I had drifted off and was having a dream of some type or another. And that friend of mine had popped into the dream. And yeah, how it is, whenever you're dreaming, you know, certain people will pop in there and pop out, you know. Well,
like Anna Cole's Bigfoot.
Yeah, said,
I get it.
Hey, man, I'm going to see my dad. Okay. And I remember in the dream saying, well, how are you going to go see your dad? Your dad's been passed away. And it was just a couple seconds later, apparently I had one of those atomic snores and woke myself up. So anyhow, I was like, crazy ass dream, you know. Well, 10
that
minutes later,
so cool.
I get a phone call and find mm-hmm. out that guy had just passed.
Oh,
wow. He was working on his son's truck at the house alone, and the truck had slipped off the jack.
Mm.
And, you know, I still wonder to this day is if that was him checking in with certain people for whatever reason and basically saying, hey, I'm heading out, in a simple way. So, you know, when that kind mm-hmm. of stuff happens, even the hardest skeptic's going to stop and go, okay, you know, there's got to be a little credence to this, you know. So, you know, when you do, there's another fine mystery, and Granny, you got us running on it, was, you know, the afterlife. What exactly, you know, what's the criteria on it? Do you, do you show up at Scrooge's doorstep jiggling the chains at night, or do you do little subtle things like you were speaking on the switch on the lamp or the ceiling fan wiggling around? And how do you have the ability to do that? What gives you the does everybody get that power? Does that, you know, is it select few, or, you know, what exactly is that? So, yeah,
I got the Emperor Palpatine's voice in my head.
Well,
unlimited power!
Now, Fro, since you just joined us, brother, tonight's topic is if you had the ability to get the absolute facts called mystery. You know, whatever it might be, the JFK assassination, dinosaurs, whatever.
The election?
What would you go after? What would be one of the mysteries you would want the answers for?
Oh, my gosh. Because there's so many. You just mentioned one of the JFK deal. One, I mean, gosh, what a big mystery that's been all these years.
Yeah. Actually, I don't even know if we'd have to spend it on that, to be honest with you, because they've got all those files were supposed to be declassified this past year, and Biden's been kind of, and I promise not to go down the political rabbit hole on this show, but he was supposed, he somehow or another blocked the release of the classified files. Because I think the thing is, there's so many years those files can stay classified, and then they have to be released by law unless there's some type of other intervention through legislature or something. That's why I got everybody mm-hmm. up in arms about the COVID vaccine, because the COVID vaccine was mandated that they don't have to tell us what was in that vaccine for 75 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, and that was where a lot of political people were having a fit about the whole thing, is that, you know, information on, you know, assassinated presidents only lasts for 50 years, but whatever you're wanting to inject me with can last for 75.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it definitely...
I mean, that whole family, though, the whole Kennedy family, though, I mean, what controversy just seems around them, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked on the show about Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe.
Come again, Tim?
Sorry, I thought I would just randomly throw crap out there since I was absent half the show.
There you go.
I'm thinking, you know, and I was so mad, by the way, when you said the topic, and I'm like, ooh, I got like 1,000,005, because I never have anything to talk about. And You know, it's like, man, we could have like five shows back to back to back to back to back over this topic. One of the many historical events that I wish I had the truth on. And I mean, I kind of know the truth, or at least I have my opinion. I don't want to spark any controversy for those that might not have the same view as me on here, but just so at least it could just be out there in the open is the moon landing, because there are people who, you know, will say one way or the other that it did or did not happen. So it's like if we just knew it, then everybody would shut up. And I think that would apply to a lot of historical facts.
Tim, did you see the footage where one of the original astronauts decked somebody that was trying to tell them that they didn't believe it was real? And the guy, one of the astronauts, pretty much punched him.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That was
Neil Armstrong. They had somebody out over saying that. Yeah.
Neil Armstrong decked somebody? Wow.
Yeah, if I recall, it was Neil Armstrong knocked somebody flat on their ass for saying that that the moon landing was bull.
All right, hello Google, I'm on my way.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know that's a good one right there, Tim, because there has been some armchair scientific speculation. Be it from, you know, I know one of them that I read all the time is about the flag. How they put the flag into the surface, but then the flag held in a certain position. And some say in zero gravity, it shouldn't have been like that. Some say it shouldn't have been, you know, it should have been not floating at all. Yak, yak, yak. Of course, my rebuttal to all those guys is, how in the hell did you know? You ever been to the goddamn moon?
Right, exactly. Like, what makes you an expert?
Right.
How many of you have been to the moon and you know the atmosphere and know exactly what it is? Yeah,
right.
So on that point, and
exactly.
Again, I mean, you know, and seriously, if it were truly, you know, let's think with an open mind here and play devil's advocate. You know, if it was something they wanted to cover up, I'm sure they probably would have figured out, well, I don't know. Our government's not always the smartest. You know, NASA's maybe not always the smartest people either. But but logically thinking it out, they would probably want to have an answer for everything. And so what I did my own research once upon a time, and I found a website where it was basically somebody who was with NASA or whatever, and they were logically, like, debunking, like, every single one of the questions or everything that somebody would say, well, how come the flag is doing this? Or, you know,
right.
Insert whatever it is here.
I'm blowing
and
on it.
They would have a logical explanation. They would be like, well, sir, because on the moon, it's, you know, and I mean, I read it and it made sense. And I was like, well, crap, that pretty much debunks just about everything. I mean, anything that anybody would have tore apart on the pictures, and like, there's people that say there's reflections in spots where there shouldn't be and all this garbage, you know, they had a reason for every single thing that was possibly described. And I was like, I really can't argue with that because I don't know, just like everybody else that reads this. They don't have any damn idea.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
Hey, there you go.
You know, but to carry on with what you're saying, though, Tim, one of the things that's always perplexed me about the moon landing is more the post-game than the actual game on that, because it was an actual race. When they call it the space race, that wasn't just a good use of alliteration for a headline. There was an actual, literal urgency towards being the first country to put somebody
because
on the
moon. It all tied to the Cold War.
Correct.
Who was better than the other one? Who had,
And, you know, here in the United States, I'm sure Russians were just as concerned about, oh, God, the Americans get on there, they're going to put nuclear weapons on there. The same way we're going, if Russians get on there, they're going to put nuclear weapons on there. My question is about the moon landing is the post-game part. It seems as if we put guys on the moon, and then everybody just said, oh, when Americans won, piss on it. And it's like everything stopped. you know, we haven't gone back to the moon. The Russians haven't tried. The Chinese have been running their suck about it for quite some time, but never have any damn, evidence of, and there's always been that thing about, they're on the dark side of the moon, which, of course, is supposed to be Pink Floyd's hangout. But nevertheless, the logistics behind being on the dark side, which is it's the backside of the moon, if you will. The moon that we see all the time is always kind of the same angle because the moon revolves around the Earth.
Mm-hmm. So that made
of course,
cheese.
The other side, that doesn't get any sun. They've said that the Chinese have gotten there. I mean, when it comes down to the scientific data, when it comes down to the temperatures and the ability to actually land on the moon and that side is so far out there, I just don't see where it would go. But my big question is, why in the hell did everybody, after all that effort and urgency and money and training and everything, when we stuck that flag in the damn moon, why did everybody just stop? Why didn't the Russians go up there and go 50 feet from our flag and stick a flag in there with the damn hammer and sickle and go, we claim this in Russia, comrade. If he dies, he dies. You know, why did everybody just fold
that? That'll be in Rocky 5000. That'll be Rocky 5000.
Yeah, they could have put Drago up there, but that's always been a mystery to me. It's like, why in the hell did everybody just stop? Because when you look at that kind of stuff, it's really a matter of, it's just comparing dicks, one country to the other. So where is the one-upmanship from, say, Russia, or formerly the Soviet Union at the time? You mean to tell me the Soviet government saw Neil Armstrong on the moon and said, piss on it, the Americans won, we're not going up there? Hey, we did it better, or hey, we did it more, or hey, we did it longer. Why wasn't any of that going on? Because the minute Stroh goes out and catches the Onslow County record for a catfish, I can guarantee you there's going to be dozens of assholes to get in their boats the next morning and try to catch catfish bigger.
Hey, raccoon.
If Austin Powers were the president of a country or a dictator, and if you were in the Cold War, he'd have been like, if you land on the moon, I'll just blow it up.
Hey, look, baby, I see Uranus. Oh, thank you.
I mean, Dr. Evil did it. Why didn't the Russians do it? It's...
Sharks with freaking laser beams.
And, I mean, even the United States
we
now,
shall call it the Death
Trump,
Star.
That's what we need to do. Yeah, damn Death Star. That'll fix somebody's ass. Say, okay, let's just go ahead and run that green laser right in the damn North Korea. We'll fix this shit overnight. It's even the Americans not trying to one-up itself, because if you stop and look at the space shuttle thing prior to the Challenger, in the 70s, gosh, I think it was, 78, 79, when Challenger, it was Challenger, the first one was Challenger, wasn't it? Anyhow.
The only Challenger blew up, didn't it? Was there more than one Challenger?
And we're on TV and watching this thing go up. And then we watch it land a couple days later, and we're all going, damn, this thing didn't splash down the ocean. This thing landed like a freaking DC-10. How cool is this? What was the first thing that came out of everybody's mouth? let's do it again. So what they did is they, not only did they continue to put the same shuttle into the air for different missions, but then they started building more shuttles. So again, the United States was trying to one-up itself over and over and over. How can we do it better? How can we do it faster? How can we do it more productively and efficiently? How can it be done? So why in the hell did we go to the moon, get off, say the famous quote, put the footprint in the sand, if it is indeed sand, and stick the flag in the damn ground and go, okay, check it off the list. We ain't coming back to this shit. It just seems a little strange to me. That, yeah. You know, check that one off the list. Let's move on to something else. It just seems strange the United States, much less any other country, didn't try to one-up us.
I mean, can you imagine the money alone it would take to fuel that damn thing? Whatever kind of rocket fuel they're putting in there, can you imagine the dollar signs on just the fuel alone, regardless of any of the other logistics involved, just the fuel alone, man. Whew.
Yeah. I mean, look at the stuff that's going on right now with this stuff we're doing where we're actually putting people in these little capsules and shooting them up. I mean, and granted, it's not actually going into space like, say, you know, an astronaut would. You're actually breaking the atmosphere and coming back down with it. But, you know, you got William Shatner in a damn thing, for crying out loud. And while William Shatner's going up in this thing, there are guys sitting there at the house going, well, I want to do that shit. So there's a natural one-upmanship or a Me Too thing that that we have as humans. So why doesn't anybody else? And when Trump talked about putting people on the moon again, he was mocked. You know, people cracked on him for it. I'm going, well, why not? Why did we go up there, do our little photo op, and come back? Unless, like some people, like our good brother Dr. John, believe that we never went out there. That never really happened.
Is that what Anna Cole told him?
I was going to say, now, of course, we're talking about our good brother Dr. John. So, you know, one must take pause, but... Yeah, good call, Tim. That's another good one. And though it doesn't seem to be a compelling thing to the general populace, like, oh, my God, we got to get out there and do this stuff, it does. It makes you wonder. And it's hard enough to trust your government as it is to much less find out that they went through this elaborate hoax of making it look like we landed on the moon. You know, could you imagine if that ever came to light, that actually it was bullshit? I mean, how could you trust, despite the fact that it happened 53 years ago, the amount of trust that would be lost is just unmeasurable.
Somebody else already mentioned the Kennedy assassination, right? I feel like I heard Kennedy.
Right.
What about this one? What about Area 51?
Yeah.
And the whole, I think that's where they had, isn't that where they supposed they had the alien autopsy? That'd be a good one to know about.
So General Zod and crew did invade the astronauts.
Yeah, feel before Zod. Is this the planet Houston? Yeah.
Houston.
I was watching this week. They had Bob Lazar, who worked in Area 51 and actually worked on alien craft. He was on Joe Rogan. It was about 2 years ago. But if you look it up on YouTube, there's about a 2.25 hour podcast with Joe Rogan. And Bob Lazar is the guy's name, Lazar. And he actually had a documentary on Netflix that I missed. But this guy, when you watch, you know, sometimes people, when they start talking about alien craft, you know, when you talk to them, you're kind of going, okie dokie, you know, because they seem a little out there when they're talking to you about it. This guy was very matter of fact. This guy almost seemed reluctant. For the things that he had seen, he almost seemed reluctant to elaborate on it. In other words, that it bothered him more than it excited him. And, if you get a chance, check that out, because the guy just, the amount of details and the amount of, I don't want to put it. You know how you can tell when somebody's just bullshitting you versus when somebody's being sincere? Watch the guy talk. He seemed very sincere and absolute about the way he was talking about what he had seen. Mm-hmm. And, again, got to make you wonder. Because, there's got to be something out there. I mean, how many times we've talked, when you talk about life on other planets, life doesn't have to be E.T. It could be a plant. It could be a germ. It could be, you know, a single cell amoeba or
the thing.
Could be out for all the hell we know. Yeah. Ah, really?
Yeah.
You know, we don't know these things. And, that's another thing about space travel that's always kind of given me the creeps. Another one of those things you think of when you forget your damn phone and you go into the bathroom. When they opened up the tombs there in Egypt, okay, now you put me in charge of it, and I pull away this 5-ton sandstone, you know, door. And I shine my flashlight in there. I see the hieroglyphics. I see all the, you know, the bangles doing the walking Egyptian on the walls and everything. My dopey ass would be like, oh, hell. And I go running in there. All right. Shine a flashlight on. I'm like, check this shit out. Oh, man. Look at that, dude. Okay. What I never thought about and that I've read about is that these guys couldn't go hard charging into these places because, let's say, there was 3,000 and 4,000 year old germs and bacteria lingering in these pyramids or these, you know, these tombs. And the guy goes running in there and sucks in whatever bacteria is in there. There's no way that you can fix the guy. There's no way you can make an antibiotic because you're dealing with a damn germ from 4,000 years ago, right?
All I can think about is the Rock and Scorpion King. Cool machete.
Exactly. So let's say when the Scorpion King bit the dust and they put him in the tomb, he dropped dead of COVID, right?
Yeah.
And they put him in the tomb.
Those dead gum scorpions.
Yeah. So then somebody opens up the tomb, goes lollygagging in there, and next thing you know, ba-bang, they've brought on the next plague because they're dealing with bacteria and germs from 4,000 years ago, which we have no idea. That's always been one of those things. So when it comes down to your space travel, Wasn't the Japanese?
You know what? In those hieroglyphics, they even in those hieroglyphics, they even showed heavenly beings coming down and helping them out.
That's true. That's true. There's actually hieroglyphics out there that depict celestial life and not Anubis and Osiris and all that kind of crap. Stuff that actually looked like legitimate alien contact.
And I wouldn't be surprised there's a hieroglyphic somewhere at Dr. John waving like, "Hi, Mom," to somebody.
Wouldn't that be a bitch if they actually had, like, they were the first guys to make E.T.? So, like, Spielberg's E.T. was, like, E.T. 2, one of the original. It'd be,
amazing.
Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, because the third kind was already done by the Egyptians. But
and have Richard Dreyfuss hanging out, partying with the aliens. It'd be great.
I just want to see somebody make something out of mashed potatoes.
Right. Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. And they start playing the music to you and everything, and I'm like, dude, what was in this damn cigar? You know?
And a little fun fact for everybody out there, a little fun fact here, I have been to Devil's Tower. It's pretty cool. And there were people climbing it. I don't think they can do it anymore, but yeah, when I went, you could see people climbing it. It was pretty bizarre. Yeah.
I need to, if I ever meet Richard Dreyfuss, I got to get him to teach me how to make Devil's Mountain out of mashed potatoes like he did that film. That was amazing.
Yeah. My mom would never let me get far along with it. I'd start doing it with the fork, and then I'd get my hand smacked or something. Eat your potatoes, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quit playing with your food, Dan. I mean, but if you think about it, if you really get analytical about it, all right, so E.T. comes down. And he's doing the ouch, phone home, and he's eating your Reese's Pieces and all that kind of stuff. All right. And Tim, I'll throw you under the bus because you still have kids in the house that are arguably kids, whereas all the rest of us got grown kids that are, you know, adults making adult decisions. So your son comes home, and he's got E.T. with him. He's eating a bowl full of damn Reese's Pieces. He seems pretty damn cool, seems pretty damn chill, just wants to get, you know, use a cell phone to call back home. If I see that, the first thing I'm going is, hey, you ain't touched that motherfucker, have you?
Right.
You know, you had, get the hand, honey, get the hand sanitizer. Somebody get the hand sanitizer out here. Don't touch this thing. You hear me? Because I don't know what kind of space germs this thing is yet.
I tell you what I would probably do. I got plenty of tools. I got plenty of scrap wood. I'm going to build myself a damn lemonade-type stand out in the front of my road, and I'm going to say, step right up, step right up, the amazing extraterrestrial, $20 only. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pop it off.
Yes. Yes.
Be Barnum, baby. I know I've told this joke on the show before, but you know that E.T. had three balls, right?
Mm.
And that's why they called him E.T. the extra testicle?
Oh, yeah, kind of like the Cheech and Chong got still smoking. Wait, you're like Eddie Torres, the extra testicle. Yeah, that was funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's say you lost a ball in an accident. Would that make you an extra testicle, or would that would make you it wouldn't make you an extra one because you're running one short? Yeah, that was
like Johnny Dangerously. You and your testes.
Yeah, you and your testes. Yeah, the infomercial. God, I forgot about that. That's a new nail. I forgot all about that.
The only infomercial I ever want to watch is, never mind, I'm not even going to say it. Yes, I am. The Shake Weight. Remember the Shake Weight infomercials?
The Shake Weight.
The Shake Weight.
And then I think Saturday Night Live.
I can feel the pump
now. Saturday Night Live did their own spoof on that.
Yeah.
I'm getting a good pump now with the Shake Weight.
why spend $20 on a Shake Weight where you can come over here and help me out? There could be some mutual satisfaction here. You get a good workout, so do I. You know, no need paying for shipping and handling. You have it right here, right now. Let's build up those abs. Let's work those damn pecs. Come on, for crying out loud. Give me just a
and when you're done, it's actually easily.
Yeah. Let me just sit over a recliner and get comfortable for a moment. Okay, I'm ready. Go ahead and work out. Let's see what we can do. Let's take a before and after picture of you while you're down there. Outstanding. Very good. Shake Weight.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know who in the hell invented those Shake Weights, but it's hard for me to believe he didn't have at least, or she or he or they or whatever it is, didn't have at least one friend that was geared like us to walk up and go, dude, you're not actually going to try to patent this shit, are you? I mean, it's like...
He had a 2001 Space Odyssey playing in the background while you do the Shake Weight.
Yeah, have a flight of the Valkyrie saying when you're working out with the Shake Weight,
yes.
You know? Yes. I mean, me, I prefer a little Barry White when they're using the Shake Weight, but I mean, hey, everybody has their different taste. But.
Sure, you're right.
Wow. Yeah. I knew we couldn't keep this show PG-13 for long. It had to slip. Ladies and gentlemen, the Shake Weight.
I'll take credit for that one. Go ahead and high-five me.
Even the commercial for that, if you have even a remotely, I mean, you don't have to be the 52-year-old butthead like I am, where everything makes me still to this day go, but because you can't do anything around me. I admit it. I have a 12-year-old mind. But you can't tell me that even my mom, who's a retired kindergarten teacher, didn't look at that Shake Weight commercial and go, "Oh my."
Yeah. Yeah.
Me.
It's like, I tell you what. You guys want a funny laugh. I'm trying to think of exactly what you need to search in Google, but there is a video out there of, I think if you do like bell ringer, like football bell ringer, it might take you there. But there's this kid that, and I don't even remember which, because I don't follow college football all that much. I'll watch it here and there. But anyway, there's a team in a college that has like a bell off to the side. And they have a dude that's designated to ring the bell. Well, so they had like, you know, not really featured, but we'll just say the camera like panned over and they were focusing on this dude ringing the bell. And I don't know if it was whatever it was a pretty heated moment in the game. It was like maybe fourth quarter or something, like they were trying to do a comeback win. I don't know, but there was some excitement and there was reason for this bell to be rung with passion. But from the angle that it shows this guy, because there's something like obstructing the view of, you know, everything that's going on. So you can't see the actual bell that he's ringing, but you see his arm moving like back and forth, and you can't see below his upper torso, and you see his face, and he's just, you know, whatever he's doing, he's giving it hell. And so there's a couple different videos you can find with like captions on there that, you know, so, you know, you can draw your own conclusion, but I do recommend a Google search. It's hysterical. It looks as though basically like he's pleasuring himself and he's doing, he's, you know, he's going to town on it. It's freaking hysterical. But yeah, it's a perfect camera angle. I'm not kidding. Like here, 10 minutes, or do it now, whenever you got time. Google. I think you'll find that if you do like football bell ringer or something like that. I may even mute and look it up so I can confirm. Awesome stuff.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, you almost got to wonder if the lady on that Shake Weight commercial actually went into hiding after that damn commercial went on. You know what I mean? Where it's like she had two teenage sons and all of his buddies kept coming over to the house. Hey, can you show us the Shake Weight? There's no way in hell that anybody could have actually thought that was a decent idea. It just even the least sadistic and adolescent mind can see there was something wrong with the engineering of that apparatus. Oh, God. That's some funny shit. There's another damn mystery. Who in the hell thought of the damn Shake Weight, and how in the hell did it get patented, for God's sake? You mean to tell me the guy at the patent office didn't laugh his ass off? Come on. So, with all that...
Amazing.
Amazing, absolutely. We're getting close to that time, and I'm trying my level best not to go into extra innings, but looks like we're going to anyway, but I figured I'd go ahead and give it a pinch at this point, pass it around the rock, seeing we've all had an exciting week and everything, and could probably use the rest. So we'll go ahead and pass it around the room, and then we'll cue in the old salty British lady to end us off for the evening, providing that my internet is up and running when I get in the house tonight. Thank you, Spectrum. So, with all that behind us, we're going to start off with the world's busiest man, Brother Stroh. Talk to us. What you got?
Oh, my goodness. Well, tomorrow, WCW Retro at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VSNation.com. We'll be talking about what-ifs in pro wrestling. So if you have a what-if in wrestling you'd like to share, please call in. It should be a good time. Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time. The feature for Friday night will be The Last Man on Earth. So please tune in from back in the day. And then Saturday I'm doing a color commentary for Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment event being held at the Craven County Fairgrounds in Newburn, North Carolina. Bell time is 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're in the Newburn, North Carolina area, come check us out. And for more information, go to Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment on Facebook. Got off set for a film that will be out later on this year. It's a spy series called Hybrid, which I'll be playing dual characters in the film. So I'll be looking out for Hybrid really soon as well. And thank you guys for having me. It's been a blast.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It's I'm excited to tell you all more about it.
I like a good spy movie.
Oh yeah, you'll love this. It's been really cool so far on set. So
sweet. Man, I'll tell you what, you've been right steady on the acting scene, man. It's good that you've been able to convert, and kind of update your career path, so to speak, and do something that you're still enjoying and successful with, man, because a lot of folks sometimes, they don't have the fortune to be doing something that they love and getting paid for it. So, I mean, it's and the amount of accolades that you've achieved along the way and everything, man, it speaks volumes. So congratulations on all that, brother. It's good to hear all
that. Awesome.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. And I got some more stuff in the works as well. I just got off set for a horror sci-fi miniseries, along with I'm going to be on set soon for a like an urban legend film that's being filmed in the next few months. So I'll keep you guys posted. Definitely. Thank you.
So that's cool as hell. We got to get Ron Rossman on here. I know we've talked about it a million times and just haven't been able to do it. Just getting the stars to align, and Ron's like the rest of us. He's so damn busy. It's hard for him to groove out 2 hours on a Wednesday night, and I totally get it because Lord knows there's plenty of times I've been as a matter of fact, this evening I was busy right on up till about 8:35 this evening, and I finally stopped and said, I got 25 minutes before I go on the air. So knowing him and all the irons that he has in the fire, it's tough for him. But, yeah, we got to get him on just to get on here and
That'd
catch up and jaw with us a little bit, because he's another guy who the wheels never stop turning to that young man's mind. So it'd be good to have him aboard.
Yep.
And
yeah, we got XCON next week, right, Dave?
Yes, 10 days from now, man. Not that I'm counting.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
It should be awesome. I can't wait.
I'm hoping to get Brad on here next week, but every time I try to get hold of Brad, he's another guy that's just got so damn much going on, it's hard for him to be able to stop. But I'm going to try to see if he wants to come on here next Wednesday so he can do a final plug for the show and everything, because I think if we really get behind Brad and Jen and XCON, I think it's it'll be one of those things that 3 to 5 to 7, 10 years from now, we're going to look back and say, hot damn, it's a good thing we got behind it the way we did, because there's a lot of potential down there. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you, man, without a doubt. Be good to be down there. And I do believe Dr. John is going to get a table down there too. I spoke to him 2 or 3 days ago. And I asked him if he was going to be there, and he said, well, he says, I'm going to go ahead and get hold of Brad and get a table to, you know, because John's got God knows how many books that he's written. And so it'd be
good. It'd be great to see him back on planet Earth. That'd be great.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Can't wait to see
him. His Bigfoot coloring book and everything, man. It's going to kick ass. So, Stro, fantastic. Appreciate you joining us this evening, as always, brother. Look forward to seeing you in a few days.
Well, thank you, man. Love you guys.
Hopefully, somehow or another, we'll be located near one another so we don't have to walk a quarter mile to see one another at the show. Hopefully, we'll be somewhere close.
Right.
Cause, you know,
that would be nice.
Sometimes you go to these shows and it's like, your bud is like 3/4 of a mile on the other side of the convention center, but nevertheless, it'd be good to see you, man. Faux show.
Oh, same here.
So, Granny Hulkster, what kind of parting shots do you have, young lady?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week, and I had forgotten to mention one other thing. You know, when we were talking in the green room, Dave, you know, I told you about my exciting weekend. Well, I got home from Oklahoma, and a good friend of mine from another wrestling company here in Springdale that I help promote their shows and everything, he was doing a little bit of a video and everything, and he asked me to be a part of his little video. So I'm in his little video, one little part. I told him, I said, no, I don't have to wear, and he said, no, I want you to wear your granny shirt. And he was doing things like he was in training, getting ready for the show for this Saturday for Ozark Mountain Wrestling, like eating some things that he shouldn't be eating because he's a wrestler, you know, and training. And my part of the video was, and I took my walker down, which he thought was really cool. I'm walking across the street in a crosswalk, and he comes up behind me and puts his arm, you know, links his arm up in my arm, and like he's trying to help me across the street. And he says, but Granny, he says, I want you to start pushing me away like you don't want my help. I want you to actually hit me. So here I'm standing here, you know, backing him on his arm, and I finally take my bag and I start hitting my back on him. And, of course, they got music playing, so you couldn't hear what I was saying, but I was like, when we were recording, I was like, what do you think? Good. Get away from me, you crazy maniac, and I'm taking him with my bag. So after getting to do the interviews with the wrestlers and getting in the ring with Dirty Dango after the show, you know, to do the Fandango dance thing, you know, And then getting to do this interview with my friend, you know, it's kind of funny because my son, and I know you guys will get a big kick out of this, because my son was telling me before I went down Friday, he says, well, I just hope your inflated ego doesn't get so big, Mom, that your head swells up and nobody can get in the building. And I said, well, I said, I'm very humble that Brandon would want my help.
Oh, boy.
And he says, well, he says, Brandon must be really getting really desperate wanting Granny Hulkster's help. You know, of course, he was agitating me, but, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm very humble. You know, when my wrestling family asks Granny to be a part of something or to do something, I do my very level best at the job that they want me to do to make it fun for everybody, you know, and that's what I did. So, you know, but I was very humbled by the fact that I was asked to do these things, so.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And I tell you, it done my heart good to hear that you enjoyed yourself and had a great time down there, because I know that's
and
your
I did,
happy
and
place.
I did post the video that Eric posted. I shared it on my page that Eric posted about my part comes in after he's riding the bicycle through the park or whatever by the water fountain. And then the next clip is me walking across in the crosswalk, you know. So I thought he was going to be, like, trying to help other people in the video besides just me. And I was the only one he was, like, trying to help. And then the rest of it was just him doing funny stuff. It's supposed to be, like, a really comical video, you know, of him, you know, training and trying to get ready for the show for Saturday and just funny stuff, you know. So... But it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I'm glad when I can help out my wrestling family, you know, with whatever they need me to help with. If it's being part of a video or doing an interview or actually getting to interview somebody like I did Saturday, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty awesome. And I know that Tim and Stro did not get to hear me say this part because we were in the green room. But when you were talking earlier, you know, about the lady, you know, the you know, like the shake weights or whatever, you know, and you're saying, oh, my, you know, that's the kind of way I felt, guys, you know, when I was actually getting to interview Dango, you know, because I had to ask him a question and he comes up and he says, well, Granny, he says, I don't know if I'm supposed to be looking at you or looking at the camera while we're talking, and he kept moving closer to me and doing his little dance, you know, and I'm standing there, my hand got into my chest, and I'm like going, oh, my, you know. it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And then, of course, I saw Tim's comment when I posted the video of me in the ring dancing with Dango, you know. I saw Tim's comment calling me a dirty dog.
Heck yeah, Granny, a dirty dog.
Well, hey, I was having fun, you know. David, my husband, guys, when I showed him the video, he just looks like you were having way too much fun. I was just having a good time, you know. I mean, I couldn't help it. He asked me to get in the ring and dance with him, you know. So he needed a dancing partner.
Yeah, that sounded like it was a blast. It's good to hear that you
it
had
was.
A good time doing that, Granny, because I know that is, like I said, that's your happy place. That's what brings you joy. And by golly, you can definitely
kind of gets my that's my escape from. From reality, you know.
Right.
Everything I've been going through, that's my escape.
Exactly. You can't have turbulent seas all the time, for crying out loud. You know, you gotta have some entertainment and everything, and that's something you truly have your heart wrapped around. So yeah, I'm glad to hear you had a good time despite the fact that David couldn't be joining you, but still. Yeah. It's good stuff. Definitely appreciate you joining us this evening, as always.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you. Now, Tim, the Stink Bug Slayer. What kind of parting stuff?
Yeah. Well, the rubber mallet didn't work. The window's jacked up. I don't really know. But at least I was able to do the I found some tape, some duct tape. And I'm sorry, it's not duct tape. It's like a weird blue masking tape. I think it's painter's tape, actually.
Painter's tape.
Found some
yeah.
of that. Put it up in the corner of the window so no more stink bugs would get in. I killed all the ones that were up there. So that's good. And then one thing I had to do is apologize. When I was describing the video, I had it wrong. There's nothing obstructing the view. The bell is in sight, but himself, he himself is behind the bell, so you can't see him, you know, ringing it or whatever. But you're all in for a treat because I did drop the gift of that video in the green room chat. So go ahead and check it out if you haven't already. I've already had to mute myself. I've played it about 5 times now. I am laughing, as you suggested, like a 12-year-old because that's my humor as well. So other than that, I'm just anything coming up, finishing work, and I got all kinds of projects going on to make the outside look beautiful again. So that's all I got. Have a great week, everybody.
Definitely good to have you aboard, without a doubt, man, and hopefully things will come around with the window, because it sounds like you're having the same kind of time with your home as I am with mine, where, you know, you're telling everybody to walk real lightly on the floors, and whatever you do, don't slam or drop anything, because Lord knows it seems like it's one thing or another here at the house here of late, so...
Yep.
But, yeah, yep. Definitely good to have you here with us. Appreciate you joining in the input, as always. Good stuff. My parting shots real quick, like, is, first off, one of my favorite singers passed away 2 days ago, Vicki Gilley.
I read that. I heard that.
Yeah, well deep into his 80s, and he lived a wonderful and enjoyable life, to be sure. But, man. Talk about some great music, great talent that never really got the credit that he should have. If you ever get a chance, look up his music. Look up the man playing a damn piano. That guy could play a piano like you would not imagine. And throughout his life, he was always a very gracious, giving person. He never let the ego get to him. He was always just a very humble and gracious guy. And despite, you know, like I said, I think he was 86. So he had a good long run.
When he had his show in Branson, Dave, one of my very good friends, one of my musician friends, was a part of his show for several years.
Really?
When he had his music show in Branson.
No kidding.
Yeah,
the guy had
he was his keyboard player in the
really?
You know, in the band section. Yeah, he was Tony was Tony, of course. Tony plays with the Presleys now in Branson. Now he went back to playing with the Presleys, but he played with Mickey Gilley for several years there when Mickey had his music show in Branson.
No kidding. Yeah, he had some great music. And again, you know, a lot of the 80s country stuff kind of gets swallowed up. But there was a lot of guys, him and Eddie Rabbit, that don't get mentioned as much these days. Johnny Lee, that just had some great stuff back in those days. And if you haven't listened to some of Mickey Gilley's music, take a few minutes and it's good cigar-smoking, whiskey-sipping music. It's just, it's like Willie Nelson, it's like Ray Charles, just stuff that's not too slow, not too fast, but just right. And he'll definitely be missed, at least ways by me, because I love this music and seemed like a great guy. And on the other side of things, as Stro alluded to earlier, the XCon 11 going on in Myrtle Beach on May 20th, 21st. That'll be my first event in over 2 years, or at least ways since COVID reared its sketchy head. And it'll be good. There's something about these cons. There's something about the shows that really gets the blood pumping, And I know as a writer, sometimes life gets in the way and the ability to sit down and type. I used to have a 3,000-word-a-day goal, which I used to easily meet. There was nothing for sitting down. And for as many people can't type 500 words about George Washington, I used to be able to type 3,000 words about something that doesn't exist daily and had no problem with it. But then, of course, you know, life gets in the way. Publishing deals go sour. You have to go back into the workforce. And before you know it, you've totally abandoned something that you really enjoyed doing, for me, is writing. So I think getting back out here and getting back into the con scene and seeing my con family and getting the adrenaline rush that comes with meeting people and telling them about your book and that kind of stuff is hopefully going to give me the shot of the arm and help me manage my time a little better to the point where I'm able to get back in the writing and everything on a regular basis. So I'm really looking forward to it. Got a pretty damn decent lineup going down there. And as we spoke earlier, Brad and Jen Miller, they're part of our con family, so they know what it's like to be on the ground, if you will. They get it. And X-Con is one of those shows that if we got in a time machine and went back to 8-9 years ago, it was rocking. It was probably some of the best. I would suggest that con to any person who's never been to one. I would always say that was a good way to cut your teeth. There was enough people there to make it exciting, but it wasn't so out of control that it was exhausting like some of these other cons are. So if it was your first con, that was a perfect one to go and kind of break into the biz, if you will. So I think with their renewed energy in the project versus the kind of exhausted energy that was going on the last few years of his existence, I see where the Millers are really going to put it in to high gear. We just got to get behind it and make it happen. So looking forward to it, a very exciting show. Looking forward to getting down to Myrtle Beach. Stro, I don't know about you, but we are heading down there Friday morning. And because the show runs Saturday and Sunday, so we're going to get there Friday, play around, and we're going to get there at the convention center around dinner time and do all of our setup. So that way everything's good to go, ready to go. All I have to do is show up at the convention center Saturday morning, sit down, and start panhandling books. So I don't know if you're going to be there Friday, but hopefully you are. We'll be able to hook up, shoot the breeze a little bit, even though we did. We live
absolutely,
7 miles from one another, but we never see each other. But, you know, that's how it is when, you know, Todd was here for 9 months. We hooked up one time. It's just, again, real life gets in the way. But hopefully Dr. John will be there and, you know, the Khan family and hopefully Velvet. Velvet, if you're listening, brother, nothing but good vibes going your direction, big man. And hopefully
for sure
you'll be able to make the trip. And in the event that he does make the trip, Stro, we got to make sure we all get together and get a couple picks together, man, because it'll be good to get everybody together like that again, because it's been quite a while, to be damn certain.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, be good, because Greg Bowe's going to be out there, and, of course, the Millers. Bud Root's going to be there, another great, fantastic artist. A lot of the guys that traveled around with us 3-4 years ago, we were getting hot and heavy in it before COVID hit, are going to be there, and it'll be just good to see everybody again. And, I don't think folks realize the con family thing, the bond that came with it, and the amazing people that you end up meeting. And you find that they're just like you. When you feel like you're all alone with the struggles of the world and everything, you find the Ron Rossmans of the world and the Strohs of the world and the Josh Alexanders and the Josh Mayers and all these kind of guys that that come together, and you know, you think you're all alone in this universe trying to make a living at something you enjoy, and then you meet these guys and you're like, damn, they're just like me. They're trying their level best to get things done, and makes you want to get behind them, share their talents and everything. And that's what these cons are all about. It's about a family. But with all that being said, I hope to see you there. Myrtle Beach, May 20th, 21st. Go to xcon.com for ticket information. I think they're still doing early bird tickets right now as we speak. I think it's 25 skins for 2 days, which ain't bad. So, get down there. And if nothing else, damn it, you're in Myrtle Beach. It is impossible to have a bad time in Myrtle Beach. I don't give a damn. I was in Myrtle Beach in a hailstorm and still had a good time. So get your ass down there, XCon 11, Myrtle Beach Convention Center, right off of 21st Avenue North, right across the street from the Myrtle Beach Pelicans ballpark. Come by and say hello. You get Stroh's autograph. If you come by and see me, you got to buy some books. I'm all about selling books. Make it perfectly clear. So with all that being said, I am going to place this empty beer vessel in my recycling bin and go in that well manner. Cue in that old salty British lady. Ooh, the door actually cooperated with me for a change. And let's see if I've got internet. Hey, the internet actually stayed for the whole show. I'll be damned. Well, guys, we do appreciate you joining us this evening. And again, everybody be safe. Try to take care of one another. Todd, big hugs. We're missing your brother. And we'll talk to everybody next week, hopefully with the Millers aboard for Pop Culture Stars. Y'all have a wonderful week. Be safe.
Night all.
Good night, everyone.
And British late.